What is love? I suppose that question's been asked throughout the centuries. Someone said that love is the most compelling human expression of feeling and commitment that one can extend or one can receive. I'm not a philosopher or anything like that, but let me tell you, love. Someone has said that love is blind, but that marriage is an eye-opener, and you can tell I'm not a comic either. Love. What is love? Love is something that you know that you possess. In fact, it's something you, if you remember when you first fell in love. You remember that time, don't you? It seemed like every waking moment upon every moment of your day was upon the apple of your eye. I mean, you knew that you were in love. Love is something that you know. And it's something that I knew. In fact, I knew that I was in love. I fell in love with this beautiful, young, virtuous, godly, simple, yet profound young lady. We knew that this was our moment. And so we were betrothed or engaged. Now, our sense of engagement was different than your sense of engagement. For engagement and marriage were almost synonymous with one another, serving as the moral and spiritual fabric of the home and society. This principle was essential to our well-being. Violated when violated by adultery or fornication would require stoning by the law, according to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Love is so important, isn't it? We were sure that we were in love with one another. All the preparations had been made. Our families, they supported us and they were there with us. And then this happened. I thought, this isn't my child. Anger filled my heart and a sense of betrayal and a mixture of feelings flooded my soul. I couldn't believe what was happening to me. I felt as though my heart had been pulled from my chest. Mary was with child. Not exactly kosher for a first century Jewish woman, you understand. But let me tell you, before we go any further in this story, you need to know something about Mary. She was virtuous. She was pure. She was holy. She was a virgin indeed. Yes, she was. And you need to know that. But at the time in which I found all of this out, in that moment, I thought, what is going on? Why is this even happening, I thought. Unbelievable. Couldn't gather myself together. The thoughts that went through my mind. What will people think? We can't possibly get married now. What in the world is going on? Why is this happening to me? We were both from a background of spiritual devotion and godly parents. How could this be? Some say that I was a just man. But I confess to you that it didn't make it any easier doing what was right all along the way. I thought maybe I'd make her a public example, but then maybe it would be best just to call the whole thing off and save her and me and our families any further embarrassment. Privately, I thought maybe I could just put her away and this could just all go away. All I know is that in the darkest moment of my life, despair became the stage upon which God would fulfill His promise. In life's most barren moment, God would give birth to His Son. Oh, yes. There were so many things going through my mind that day. As I considered all the options and thinking through all of this, the angel of the Lord came to me while I was asleep in a dream. He awakened me and he spoke to me and he said, Joseph, do not be afraid. The child that Mary has conceived has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Now, it was a simple explanation, but certainly it was one that inspired faith in my heart. He told me, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I was utterly consumed by what was going on. These were the words that I needed to hear. I admit to you that I was overwhelmed in the moment, but his words spoke to me. And faith surged in my heart so that this calm came over my spirit. talk about having your eyes open. My confusion turned to clarity. My chaos turned to certainty. And in that motion of commotion, in that time of commotion, the calm of the Spirit of God came upon my life. Oh, let me tell you, in that revelation, in that dream, my problem turned to a solution. The angel of the Lord spoke to me again and said, Joseph, Mary shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Jesus, common name for an uncommon man. To come to a common people, God would choose to reveal himself in this way as Jesus, Yeshua, the one who had come to save. Listen, God would make himself known, not through a book, oh, that was secondary, not through a church, that was consequential. Listen, God would make himself known in the flesh, God in the flesh, touchable, approachable, that we could reach out to him, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. I, Joseph, was given this grand privilege, this wonderful joy of being able to witness with Mary the birth of the Son of God. At this point, it didn't matter what anyone might think. I knew that Mary was carrying the Son of God. I knew this, and I chose to do everything that the Spirit of the Lord had led me to do. Scriptures would be fulfilled in that moment as the angel of the Lord told me that all these things that were happening would be the fulfillment of everything that Isaiah had spoken of some 700 years earlier when he said that a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. A miracle. A messenger of hope and of heaven. Yes, he would come to dwell among us. It's clear to me what God was doing now. Oh yes, God would be with us. While we were the ones who had created distance between us and God, it was God now who would establish himself by building a bridge into our life so that he would be with us, he would be for us, he would come now to dwell in us. Fulfilling everything that Jeremiah the prophet had said, that he would write his laws upon our heart and that he would usher in, bringing in a new covenant. I knew that I stood at the crossroads of human history. Yes, I did. Watching now the fulfillment of what had been spoken of 700 years prior to this time by the words of Isaiah. Oh, yes. It would happen. Didn't matter to me now what other people would think. I knew that I was caught up in this moment of human history in which God would so reveal himself to me, to others. He spoke to me, you know. As the angel of the Lord spoke to me, and then I awakened from that dream. Having received his words, I decided then that I would do exactly as I was told to do. Listen, I understand that many people didn't believe. And they just didn't know. But I believe that in time, that surely they would come to believe. Surely you believe, don't you? Don't you know what happened on that day? Miracle of the conception of Jesus Christ, while doubted by skeptics then and even now, is something that we can believe. There were some who thought that I just went out on a limb, that I took a leap of faith, that what I did was just, that I just believed anything. But let me tell you what I did. I chose in that moment to believe God's revelation over my reasoning. That's what I chose to believe. To understand that God was working in miracle right before my very eyes. That's what I chose. Yes, yes, we were married. And it was difficult in those early days, but nonetheless, we stayed with the promises of God. We believed that we should remain pure and holy in this marriage, and we refrained from any type of intimacy so that we would maintain the sacredness of our marriage. And we did this so as to honor the Lord. We were wholly submitted to the things of God, desiring to honor him and not to compromise anything in this journey of faith. All of these things I only know because of the angel of the Lord. You know, an encounter with the angel of the Lord is not something that you easily forget. It's not something that you discard easily, you understand. He spoke to my heart. There was a clarity that came to my life and a direction that I had not received to that date. Maybe you're looking for that type of clarity in your life, that sense of direction in which God leads you and moves you. Let me tell you, He's closer to you than you might even think today. God, who chose to reveal Himself in the flesh, has come to speak to you and to give you direction. Do not let 2,000 years pass you by and separate you from the presence of Almighty God. Well, the time came when Mary and I, we made our way to Bethlehem, some 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. I wasn't sure really if Mary was going to make it without giving birth. I did everything I could, you understand. I took care of her. I made sure that everything that was necessary, that we had it, and we made our journey thinking that I'd gotten her all the way to Bethlehem. She made it to Bethlehem, I thought. But as I understand it now, I had very little to do with how she got to Bethlehem. The fact is that God, by His sovereign hand, according to the word of the Lord, that He had moved us and orchestrated these events. In a movement of the Lord, He had brought us to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy of Micah, who said, O Bethlehem, thou art not the least among the princesses of Judah, for out of thee will come a governor which shall rule my people Israel. It wasn't me who got her to Bethlehem. It was the Lord. And the word traveled fast. That Jesus, the King of the Jews, had been born. Herod heard of this. Herod, who himself had taken the title King of the Jews in 37 BC when Jerusalem fell to the Roman Empire. He heard of this. This was the same man, Herod, who had murdered his wife, Miriam, and their two sons. Was insecure about his position. He would stop at nothing to make sure that any threat to his kingdom would be diminished. In fact, there were those who said that better to be a swine in Herod's house than a son, and better to be in other words, a pig, where a pig had a greater chance of living in his home and surviving. He was vile. He was a murderer, and he would stop at nothing to make sure that he destroyed the Christ child. He was so caught up in himself that Herod, at one point, knowing that his death was close and that it was imminent, that he ordered notable men, Jewish men, to Jericho and there to have them slain, to have them slaughtered at his death so as to ensure national grief at the time of his death, knowing that really nobody would grieve his death. Herod was nervous, unable to enjoy all that his life had accumulated. Listen, this man would stop at nothing. While there were those who would want to destroy Jesus, there were those who came from the east, wise men. And they came from the east to worship the child, the Christ child. Oh, listen, we were proud parents as any parent would be, but our pride went even well beyond what most parents feel, because we knew that this was the Son of God. And we pondered this much in our hearts. They brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This child, which had been born in a lowly manger, now they worshiped as a sovereign king. He was the king. He is the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, worthy of worship then and worthy of worship today. Yes, many came to worship. And these wise men, being warned in a dream, were told not to go back to Herod, to depart in their own country and to go a different way, because it was known that Herod wanted to destroy the Christ child. Even I, by the angel of the Lord, was warned to take the child and Mary and to take them to Egypt and there remain until we receive word. Because Herod wanted nothing more than to destroy the Christ child. In fact, he would go to such lengths that he would take those children 2 years of age and under in Bethlehem, and he would slaughter them. He would murder them. that a man would do something like this. What happens to a society when a man is able to do something like this? To murder these children. But that's in fact what Herod would do. That's what his heart was in. Doesn't make sense, does it? Jesus didn't come to steal, kill, or destroy. No, he came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly, and this was a promise. Even for those like Herod. But he would reject any such idea. It's sad, isn't it? That while some worship Jesus, others denied him and rejected him and would go to such lengths to destroy his life. I suppose that these days that you live in are in some ways not much different than the days that I lived in. Reminders of the birth of Christ being suppressed and denied. Those who say that they believe in the Christ, who turn their attention to trees and Santas and all kinds of things. Those who even call upon the Jesus and are named by him Christian, who don't even really follow this Christ. There are some who worship, and there are some who have rejected him. Do we not understand that he that is greater than all the universe has become a little babe? He that has created all that we see now dependent upon the nourishment of a young mother, heaven granting us its greatest treasure, majesty invading the mundane so that in our unrighteousness we might be declared his, that heaven delivering its bread to us, to the city of bread, Bethlehem, that we might partake in it. Do we understand? Step with me in the stable. Gaze with me into that manger and make room for him in your heart, for he is here. Jesus is here.